الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله، لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الإمام شرف الدين البوصيري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين: ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى أن اشتكت قدماه الضر من ورم، وشد من سغب أحشاءه وطوى تحت الحجارة كشحا مترف الأدم، وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب عن نفسه فأراها أيما شمم، وأكدت زهده فيها ضرورته إن الضرورة لا تعدو على العصم. This is the third section. Al-Imam Al-Busiri, as we explained before, started describing his love and yearning for the neighbors of the Salam, talking to himself, but rather putting it in a different form, putting a person in front of him, addressing him. And this conversation goes on to describe the signs of love that appeared on this lover, on the poet himself, yet he is trying to hide his love. Talking to the people who blame him that he shouldn't fall in love, while he is trying to hide his love, he makes his dua that you may never get in a similar state. You're giving me some advice, I'm not listening to it, because lovers are deaf, they don't listen to any advice. From that point he developed his poem into a different subject, talking about the counsel given to him by the gray hair growing on his head. So he continued that I haven't listened to the counsel given to me by the gray hair visiting my head, because my nafs is always commanding me evil, and she's been never reminded of Allah out of its ignorance. She's never paid attention to the warnings of Al-Shayb and Al-Haram. Going on in the second section, he described himself and the role of this self and nafs in destroying one's own spiritual legacy. He gives advice as a murshid in the Shadhili path, as a great arif, not only as a poet. As a poet he speaks of love, and he gives he gives his description of the various categories of love and the various states of lovers. But here he is acting like a murshid. He gives the best advice. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ. After this marvelous line, وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ. The self is like a baby. إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ. If you neglect it, it grows with the love of being breastfed. If you wean it, it will be weaned. So he gives some advice, فصرف هواها وراعها, then واخشى الدسائس واستفرغ الدمع وخالف النفس والشيطان وعصهما ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما. Also taking on the character of the Sufis, after giving this advice, he says that he is not in a position to give an advice out of his tawadu, out of his humility, because he speaks but he never acts upon what he speaks. He is seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saying words but not acting upon them. Astaghfirullah min qawlin bila amalin. Then he clearly says that I'm commanding you good but I'm not acting upon it. Nor did I prepare any luggage, any prayer before death, any supererogatory prayer. I haven't done anything more than my fard in terms of prayers and fasting. This is how he develops to the third section now, where he speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I have neglected the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that point, the conversation or the subject of the poem is highlighted till the end of it. ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ. I have neglected the sunnah of the one who brought life to night, to the darkness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to the one, sunnata man ahya al-dhalama, the following lines are all description of al-ladhi here, man ahya, al-ladhi, this relative pronoun, al-ism al-mawsool. وَشَدَّ مِنْ سَغَبٍ وَرَاوَدَتْهُ, all is built on the first line, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described here as having brought life to the darkness. This is all metaphorical. The darkness is the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of disbelief. And life here is the light of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Because real death is not in the death of the body. Real death is in kufr, wal-iyazu billah, in getting away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is real death. One poet says, لَيْسَ مَنْ مَاتَ فَاسْتَرَاحَ بِمَيْتٍ إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَيِّتُ الْأَحْيَاءِ إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَنْ يَعِيشُ كَئِيبًا كَاسِفًا بَالُهُ قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ. لَيْسَ مَنْ مَاتَ فَاسْتَرَاحَ بِمَيْتٍ. The person who passed away is not the real dead person. إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَيِّتُ الْأَحْيَاءِ. The real dead person is someone who walks on the face of the earth but is dead. He explains, إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَنْ يَعِيشُ كَئِيبًا. The dead person is the one who lives in depression. كَاسِفًا بَالُهُ قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ. كَاسِفًا بَالُهُ could be described here as being busy-minded, or as being heartbroken is better. قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ, with little hopes. So this is in terms of our social life, in terms of our psychological states. You may develop this also into the level of the sacred knowledge. The living people are those who are enlightened by knowledge, and dead people are ignorant people. You develop more to talk about our spiritual growth, our spiritual journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who are aware of themselves and are making efforts to erase the rust on their hearts and polish their hearts and clean them, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are alive. Others are dead. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam brought light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as being light. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Noor, light. And exactly as light brings happiness, it brings life into a room, in the same way, in a better way even, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. It means Allahu munawwiru samawati wal ard, aw khaliqun nuri fi samawati wal ard. The one who brings light, the one, the source of light, the one who brings life, light, the one who creates light. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is light, not only metaphorically, but even from a very actual approach or look, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is created from light in a different way from the creation of other people. So we may take it قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ, that he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is light put in the form of human beings. And several different aspects may point out or hint to this fact. If we put this alongside the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, كُنْتُ نَبِيًّا وَآدَمُ مُنْجَدِلٌ فِي طِينَتِهِ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was created as a prophet when Adam was still being made of clay. We can understand here how the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preceded at least the human beings, at least the human beings. And in that regard, there's no harm in saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created from light, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created from light before many other beings or many other creatures. And there's nothing to there's no way to deny this simple fact. Of course, when we come to Hadith Jabir, أول ما خلق الله إن الله خلق نور نبيك قبل الأشياء ثم جعل ذلك النور يدور في فلك القدرة ثم قسمه أربعة أقسام. Allah created the light of your prophet, O Jabir, first of all, before all other things. Then that light circulated in the orbit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided it into four parts, created from one part, al-arsh, the throne, from another, al-kursi, the stool, from another, the pen. Then the fourth section or part, he subhanahu wa ta'ala divided it into four parts, created from one the heavens, from another the earth, and so on. The hadith, this hadith is not authenticated yet, is not authenticated yet. And although Imam Al-Qastallani mentioned that Abdul Razzaq related this hadith, we still نتوقف, we're still holding the judgment on this hadith, or withholding the judgment on this hadith till a reliable, authentic copy of either Al-Musannaf or another book of Abdul Razzaq is discovered to highlight the isnad of this hadith. Recently, one of the scholars, not really a scholar, but one man in Dubai published what he called the missing part of Al-Musannaf of Abdul Razzaq. You might have heard of it. The missing parts, Isa Al-Mani', the ex-director of Al-Awqaf administration in Dubai, in working with an Egyptian sheikh called Mahmoud Saeed Mamdouh, they worked out an edition of this lost part, missing part of Al-Musannaf. They found a copy of Al-Musannaf and they got happy with it and they published this copy, but this copy actually is just all made up. And this is the reliable opinion. If you look at the manuscript, if you look at the isnad, they had an isnad of Ibn al-Munkadir from Jabir ibn Abdullah. The missing part is from Al-Musannaf is published in 11 volumes. And there is a missing part in the 5th volume and some missing part starts with Kitab al-Tahara. But this copy they found, as related, found by someone in India and then purchased or brought to Dubai, where they purchased it for a very high price, getting happy or becoming happy, not being experts in manuscripts. It's the signs are very clear that it is made up. It's a new version. The handwriting and the style and various other elements. The isnad is very true, very trustworthy, but there's no isnad, there's no authentication in this copy of the missing part of Al-Musannaf that proves that this is really written by Abdul Razzaq. And one rule in Mustalah al-Hadith, you can't narrate from a book till you are sure this book is authored by the same author. Either you know the handwriting of the author, because in the past books were all manuscripts, handwritten. So either you know the handwriting of the scholar, or there is an isnad on the copy. You studied the book with your teacher. This copy has been studied before with another teacher who studied the book with the author, and the author put an ijaza or put authentication on the book. This is called sama'at, and we have many of these sama'at on many books. So this is a way to authenticate, especially books of hadith and many in many other disciplines. But this copy has no way to prove, nothing to prove that it is really an authentic part of al-Musannaf, besides several other factors. So, but this doesn't make the hadith which al-Imam al-Qasallani quoted in al-Mawahib al-Dunya as not authentic, because we're still waiting for the quote to be discovered in either al-Musannaf or another book of Abdul Razzaq. So, but what we believe in as Ahlul Sunnah is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created before other prophets. He highlighted this in this hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, كُنْتُ نَبِيًّا, I was a prophet, وَآدَمُ مُنْجَدِلٌ فِي طِينَتِهِ, Adam was still folded in his clay. Besides the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Qur'an al-Kareem, which is قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Some people say that Nur and Al-Kitab are the same here and Al-Ataf la yaqtadi al-Mughayara, but many scholars said it is Rasulullah who is meant by the first here, Nur, first word, Nur. And there's nothing wrong in taking it literally, not metaphorically. We can take it literally. And some of these aspects, though narrated in weak hadith, but may support this notion, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have a shadow, for example. It may support the same, that he, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, also used to see from behind, as we see with our eyes in front of us. It also supports the same notion. So, and we have several other elements that would support the same thing. So ظَلَمْتُ, ظَلَمَ here is to do injustice by neglecting. So we may translate this directly in more poetic way, that I neglected the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his name is not mentioned here to make tashweeq, to make the listener yearn more and be more interested in who is this person, the one who brought light to the darkness till his feet swelled in distress, the one who tightened stones on his soft side, the one who was enticed by mountains offering him to be made of gold, the one who showed every way of abstinence from the dunya. He's making tashweeq, because people would say, who is this great man who had all these qualities? Qualities that are transitive and qualities that are intransitive. Transitive brought light, darkness. But then he himself was a model, because commonly leaders may call people to something, but in their own life they may act upon it. As you may see now in the West, superstars, movie stars, football players in America, around the world, there's always some stories where these people call for some type of ethics and then they are discovered to act against it. Because it's all business, it's all about money. They are not convinced of what they're calling for. So generally speaking also, it's because the heirs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the ulama, are also not impeccable. They may fall in errors. It's difficult to have a perfect model. So he is trying to prove to us here that from the beginning, before giving the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's perfect. And he was the best model. And he sacrificed for the sake of his ummah. So ظلمت سنة ظلم يظلم سنة جمعها سنن من أحيا الظلام أحيا يحيي أحيا يحيي. And notice here how the verb أحيا is written with ألف, and how you write the name يحيا with ألف مقصورة, أحيا with ألف ممدودة, يحيا the name is written with ألف مقصورة. أحيا الظلام إلى الظلام والظلمة darkness أظلم, verb is أظلمَ, to fall in darkness. إلى till, إلى here is sort of ghaya, showing the result, the outcome of him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam staying up the night till what? So literally the meaning referred to immediately here is that here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to spend all the nights up in Qiyamul Layl. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. Thy Lord knows, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ, that you stay up, أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ, less than two-thirds or more than two-thirds, two meanings here, أَدْنَى, closer or farther, the two-thirds of the nights, وَثُلُثَهُ وَنِصْفَهُ, and one-third of it and one-half of it. The habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as described in the Shama'il, was to divide the nights into six parts. And he used to sleep three parts and stay up two parts and then sleep the last part. لَيْلَ سِتَّةَ أَقْسَامٍ فَيَنَامُ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ ثُمَّ يَقُومُ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الخامس, الرابع والخامس. Then he used to, ثم ينبو أسلس الأخير من الليل, as described in some hadith. So أحيى الظلام, he, by standing up the nights, he brought life into the darkness, that is to say, into his nights. So everyone's nights are dark, but you may shine them, you may make them glitter with your prayer in them, with your prayer in your own nights. So this is more specific to the nights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But coming up with this istiftah here, ظلمت سنة من أحيى الظلام, gives more impression that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam brought light to all darkness before Islam, which was ignorance, was disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He brought this darkness. Is bara'a, bara'atu istihlal here, describing the effect of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ila an ishtakat, ishtaka yashtaki may mean to complain, but also originally it means to fall ill, ishtaka. Ma tashtaki, what are you complaining of? Because main complaints are of getting sick. قدماه, dual مثنى of قدم, الضرة مفعول به of اشتكت, من ورمي, من السببية, because of being swelled or being swollen, they swelled till they were swollen. وشد من سغب. Now continuing, showing how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best model for his ummah. Shadda, to tighten on his stomach, between brackets, as was the habit of Arabs, because when someone is hungry, to quell your hunger, the best way is to sort of put something on your stomach, such as a piece of stone, and you tighten it so your stomach doesn't fall to the front, but rather it is tightened so you don't feel hungry, because you don't feel it's empty. You feel there's something filling it, though from outside, but it softens the feeling of hunger. Saghab is jua', hunger. Ahsha'ahu, we had the word before. Ahsha' is what is in the stomach altogether, not only the intestine, but everything, the liver, the kidneys, the stomach itself, the intestine, lower stomach, upper stomach, and so on. Plural of hasha. وطوى, folded, as you طوى الفراشة, for example. But طوى also may mean بات طاويا, it means بات جائعا. So there is here tarshih of isti'ara by quoting, by using the word tawa. Because tawa is to sleep the night, to go to bed without having dinner. This is tawa. And bata tawiyan in Arabic is to go to bed without dinner. Bata tawiyan. Tawi is ism fa'il. So tawa yatwi. Lazim wa mutaaddi. Intransitive. Lazim means here hunger. If it is transitive, mutaaddi, it may mean folded, like طوى الفراشة. طوى الرجل وطوى الفراشة. طوى الرجل to spend the night without dinner. طوى الفراشة folded the mattress. So here he is using it in terms of folded, but he doesn't mean folded, but rather he means that he went to bed being hungry. He went to bed putting himself like someone folded. When you're cold, you go to bed, you're cold, you try to gather yourself, your feet, your stomach, your hands to your chest, so that you don't feel cold. The same also when someone is hungry, you are like folded, like a mattress. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam folded underneath the stones that he tightened to his stomach. Kashh. Kashh is this area from underneath the shoulder, the ribs, beneath underneath the shoulder, to the kidney, to the waist, al-khasira. This is called kashh. Mutraf al-adami. Al-adam is the skin, jild, the skin. And mutraf may mean here soft. From taraf, actually, taraf is luxury. Taraf is excessive use of life's commodities. This is literally speaking, this is taraf. What this means is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a noble man. He was not like a peasant who works in agriculture, whose skin is rough, for example. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was raised up in ni'mah, having means of the dunya, whatever he wanted. So was a man of the utmost level of fairness and beauty. So he's a man of honor, a man of beauty, a man of noble origin, yet still he is letting himself experience hunger. I wouldn't say suffer. Be careful when you talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was not suffering sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We may suffer from hunger. This is why we put it as he let himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, experience hunger for the sake of his sahaba, apparently. Yet even though we may not even, we may put it in a different way. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abstained from food rather than even saying that he experienced hunger. Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَبِيتُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. I stay with my Lord. He feeds me and he waters me. But apparently, of course, because the hadith, the Sahaba, such as Sayyidah Aisha and other of the Sahaba, describes, and there is hadith that ما أخرجك يا أبا بكر قال الجوع, ما أخرجك يا عمر قال الجوع, قال what brought you out? Hunger. What brought you out? Hunger. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم with Abu Bakr and Umar, they went to Abu Talha. He صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم showed that human aspect of him to his sahaba, so that they get sure that also that this is not an angel walking on the face of the earth. He's a human being. So on many aspects, whenever you come across quotes or words of him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying, for example, that I don't know, I am the messenger of Allah, what Allah is going to do with me, I don't know this or that, or he acted like exactly a human being. It was to prove to the Sahaba more that he is a human being, because many of the Sahaba around him saw the miracles, and having seen the miracles happening at his hands, and having discovered also the various aspects of him being light, being supported from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they might forget this fact that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. And we have it actually, especially most obvious example is the case of his death sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Umar thought that he's not going to die till he exterminate all the hypocrites, for example. He would outlive all other Sahaba, forgetting that human aspect. So كَشْحًا مُتْرَفَ الْأَدَمِ الأدم الجلد وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب عن نفسه فأراها أيما شمم. راود يراود is to entice, to try to persuade someone of accepting what you're offering. وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه. In Surah Yusuf, in the story of Yusuf عليه السلام, and the one he is working for, or the one in whose house he is, enticed him, or seduced him, or tried to persuade him to وراودته, of herself, to be with her. So this is وراودته الجبال, with the mountains. الشم, the very high mountains. جمع أشم here. شم جمع أشم. أشم may be literal, may be metaphorical. Literal, very high. Metaphorical means a man of pride, a man of dignity, in a better way. A man of dignity who doesn't humiliate himself for anything of the dunya. And this is called إباء and شمم. He would refuse to humiliate himself. And commonly, the nose is described as being أشم, high. Literally and metaphorically. أشم الأنف, for example, it means the nose is high. It's a sign of glory, sign of nobility, sign of dignity, that someone's nose is high. من ذهب, of gold. They tried to convince him to accept them as being made of gold. This is all quoted from hadiths here. The stories in the lines here are all authentic. How Rasulullah ﷺ used to stay up the night till his feet were swelled. How he, in Ghazwat al-Khandaq, for example, he sallallahu ta'ala showed the Sahaba he had two pieces of stone on his belly, tightened. And the hadith in Mecca, when he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam returned from At-Ta'if, Jibreel came to him, and the angel of Al-Jibal, the mountains, was with Jibreel, and he offered him that if he wanted, the mountains of Mecca all would be made gold for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to offer him some solace when he returned from At-Ta'if. People having rejected him in At-Ta'if, he sallallahu ta'ala so was anxious for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people are not accepting this message, and he wanted them to believe. He persisted in the message. So in solace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered him, sent him the angel of the mountains. رَاوَدَتْهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ. Because if he accepted gold, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was protected from sin, of course. So we would put it just in a hypothetical way, in a very sort of imaginary situation where it doesn't apply at all, and there's no way that this case would apply. If he accepted gold, then he would be giving himself up, the message up. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him of. He made him not to accept the dunya. He made him to choose to be a prophet and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ بَلْ نَبِيًّا عَبْدًا أَجُوعُ يَوْمًا فَأَحْمَدُ اللَّهُ وَأَشْبَعُ آخَرًا وَأَشْبَعُ يَوْمًا فَأَشْكُرُ اللَّهُ. When he was given the choice of being a prophet and king, or a prophet and a slave, or a servant, he opted for the latter, to be a prophet and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than the former. And he said, I get hungry once and I glorify Allah, I get enough food another day and I thank Allah. فَأَرَاهَا أَيَّمَا شَمَمِي. He showed the mountains every, we say here, abstinence. Abstinence is maybe the best way to translate shamam here, iba, refusal, refusing to take anything of it. Because to abstain is different from, sometimes zuhud is translated as asceticism, and sometimes as abstinence. Cases are different. When you don't have anything, you're an ascetic. But when you have and you refuse, you're an abstinent. You're abstaining from, because you're offered gold and you refuse to take it. This is a shamam. A shamam that his himma, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is higher than gold. His mission is worthier than gold. So why should he lean towards the dunya while he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side and he is the best of creation? وَأَكَّدَتْ زُهْدَهُ فِيهَا ضَرُورَتُهُ إِنَّ الضَّرُورَةَ لَا تَعْدُوا عَلَى الْعِصَمِ. What confirmed his quality of zuhud is his state of need. His state of need. Because if you need and you abstain, then you're proving that your zuhud is true. But if you don't need and you say, okay, I'm keeping away from this, I don't want it, well, you're not in test. Tests and trials actually prove your integrity in front of challenges. So وَأَكَّدَتْ زُهْدَهُ, confirmed, أَكَّدَ يُؤَكِّدُ, emphasized, it may be used in grammar or in linguistics, to emphasize, here to confirm, to stress on زُهْدَهُ, his abstinence, his refusal to take the dunya, فِيهَا, in the mountains, ضرورته, his state of need. ضرورة may be translated as necessity sometimes, maybe need, his state of need, his need. إن الضرورة لا تعدو على العصم. However, his state of need would not overcome his... So العصم here is plural of عصمة. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sinless. So his state of need, there is no way that in a state of need that he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would break this principle, because it's not up to him. Allah made him impeccable. So there's no way. وَأَكَّدَتْ زُهْدَهُ فِيهَا ضَرُورَتُهُ. This is, if you want to see, if you want to examine gold, you get a piece of metal and it's scratched or dusty, it's not clean. The best way to test gold is to put it in the furnace. You put gold in the furnace. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves to you and to other believers that you're a true believer. Your true belief can be tested in a furnace. If you're made of gold, then you will shine. If you're made of iron, then you're going to be revealed. Your reality is going to be revealed. Referring here to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers with calamities. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers with calamities. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ. We test you with evil and good to distinguish you, to filter you, metaphorically speaking. So the state of need would be the best times to prove one's own integrity. How, as in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we understand from his life that in Mecca, he and Bani Hashim and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were besieged and boycott for 3 years in Shu'ib Abi Talib. And some of the Sahaba didn't have anything to eat, and they used to, as Sa'd narrates once, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he tread on something, and he just took it and put it in his mouth, and he didn't want to look to see what it was, out of hunger. Sa'd also says that once in Mecca, he was the seventh person into Islam, and he didn't have anything to eat, he said, except something yuarihi ibtu Bilal, something underneath the shoulder of Bilal, a very dry piece of bread. But he describes later on, وَمَا مِنَّا وَاحِدٌ مِنْ أُولَٰئِكَ السَّبْعَ إِلَّا وَهُوَ أَمِيرُ مِصْرًا مِنَ الْأَمْصَارِ. Every one of us, those seven people, is now a governor of a great territory around the Islamic world in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. وكيف تدعو إلى الدنيا ضرورة من لولاه لم تخرج الدنيا من العدم. How would a state of need push a person to take the dunya at the time the dunya wouldn't have been brought into existence but for his sake? So وكيف تدعو exclamation here, سؤال تعجب exclamation. وكيف تدعو إلى الدنيا ضرورة من لولاه لم تخرج الدنيا من العدم. The line is arranged in a way that makes you wonder how would on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would the dunya entice someone? And the dunya was all created for his sake. He is the master of the dunya. He is the master of the world. The dunya has been created for his sake. So would the dunya entice him? Would the dunya seduce him? There is no way. He has it all, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So it's his. The dunya is his. Shaykh al-Akbar talks about the verse, رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا. Wakil is someone to rely on. But also, wakil is someone who handles your affairs on your behalf. And referring to this letter meaning, Shaykh al-Akbar says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the dunya for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then to keep him busy with his ma'rifa, with his ibadah, with the message, he told him, don't bother yourself in handling the dunya, in disposing, tasrif al-dunya, we will do this on your behalf. So he says, رب المشرق والمغربي, the Lord of the East and the West, there is no God other than him, لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا. So make him your wakil, make him wakil, something in the dunya like manager, but someone who has full power, power of attorney, to handle all your affairs. This is a power of someone who has a power of attorney, wakil in legal terms. So وكيف تدعو, دعا يدعو إلى الدنيا, إلى الدنيا, to the dunya, to lean towards the dunya, ضرورة, a state of need, the need of من, the state of need of a person, لولاه, had it been لولاه, without him, لولا حرف امتناع لوجود, لم تخرج الدنيا, the dunya wouldn't have been brought out من العدم, from non-existence. Some people recite this لم تخرج, earlier reading لم تخرج العدم, because it didn't come out. Better لم تخرج, of course, automatically it's well understood that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought it. So some copies you have may have this vocalization. لم تخرج الدنيا من العدم. It's not preferred. لولاه for لولاه لم تخرج الدنيا من العدم. Had it not been for him, the dunya wouldn't have been brought out of non-existence. Then he reveals the name of the one who he is describing. He reveals the name of the one he is yearning to, the one he is in love with, giving this, this is the first line, this is why like this is maqta. This is a very important maqta in the poem here. After all these introductory lines, then he starts with the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The line when you reveal the name of your beloved, even in when celebrating love, should be a very strong line, because you're getting in the subject now. You should make the impact of mentioning the name very strong on the listeners, the effect of the name very powerful. So Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini Wathaqalaini Walfariqaini Min Urbin Wa Min Ajami. This is the man he's in love with. This is the man whose sunnah he neglected. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyidu, the master of Al-Kawnain, Al-Dunya Wal-Akhira, Wathaqalain, Al-Jinn Wal-Ins, Walfariqain, the two parties of Arabs and non-Arabs. So Al-Kawnain means here the two worlds, the two beings, literally from كان يكون كون. كون is being, because Allah subhanahu said كون, be, and of course this is all metaphorical. Even there's no be. Allah subhanahu creates without means, without process of words or anything else. والثقليني, الثقليني, literally it means the two heaviest from thaqal, and because the jinn and mankind on the face of the earth are the most honored species on the face of the earth, they are highlighted, so called al-thaqalayn, al-jinn and al-ins, and also because they are mukallafin. So Allah subhanahu wa sharafahum bil-aql, Allah honored them with the intellect, reason, and also Allah honored them with sending messengers to them, especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is the one sent to both jinn and mankind, so naturally he is the master of the jinn, even more than the ins alone. Wal fariqaini, though he is from an Arab origin, but he is the master of non-Arabs. Ajam is everyone who is non-Arab. It's used to describe Lughat Ajamiya, non-Arabic languages, because Arabs won't understand, so they call it Ajam, and also non-Arabs themselves are called Ajam. Ajamiyun wa Arabi, in the Quran al-Karim describing, there's no way to compare the speech of Al-Quran al-Karim, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Karim, to any non-Arabic words or speeches. Then he clarifies more, who is this man? So he says Nabiyuna, making it relating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to our lives, relating him that to us, that he, we should be concerned about this man, we should be in love with him because he is our prophet. Nabiyuna, here اختصاص مختص بنا. Nabiyuna al-amir al-nahi. How Al-Imam Al-Busiri picked up his words is so beautiful, because he wanted to highlight the most important features, characteristics, aspects of Rasulullah's life sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he said Al-Amir Al-Nahi, because he said sallallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. What the messenger commanded, obey what the messenger commanded and keep away from what he prohibited. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Keep away from what I prohibited and do as much as possible of what I commanded. So his job is to command and to forbid, to establish the barriers of the Sharia. نَبِيُّنَا الْآمِرُ النَّاهِ. Yet, he commanded good, he forbade evil, but there's no one better than him in following what he commanded and in following what he prohibited. In doing what he commanded and keeping away from what he prohibited. This is one meaning of the line. And I believe this is the best meaning, could be understood. But there's also another meaning. Al-Bajuri mentions only one meaning, that he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, though he commanded and prohibited, amara wa naha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but fala ahadun, there's no one abarra fi qawli more generous than him when he had to say no or when he said yes. So when people asked him if he had to say no, when people begged him for something, if he had to say no, there was no one softer than him in saying no. And there's no one softer than him saying yes. Abarra here, better, could be good, as bir is good in general. So there was no one better than him in saying no without letting people be upset. And there was no one better than him in saying yes also when trying to make people happy. So it's about giving beggars, giving people who ask him for anything. Or it may apply also on the Sharia itself. I would rather go for the earlier meaning that I mentioned, because al-amiru al-nahi here is about the Sharia. فَلَا أَحَدٌ أَبَرَّ فِي قَوْلِ لَا مِنْهُ وَلَا نَعَمِي. In applying, there was no one more righteous. There was no one better than him in applying what he said when he said yes or said no, applying what he says on himself. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. الإمام الباجوري goes for the meaning of generosity, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he said yes or no. But we have it in some hadith of al-Shama'il. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said no. ما قال رسول الله لا قط. He never said no to anyone who asked him. He would give to the extent that he would borrow money to give, or borrow food to give. He would promise, come back. But he wouldn't say no, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have a hadith of Musa al-Ash'ari when he arrived and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy with something and they wanted to practice jihad, and they were asking for some camels, and Rasulullah said, ما عندي ما أحملكم والله لا أحملكم وما عندي ما أحملكم عليه. I'm not going to offer you any mounts, and I don't have any mounts to give you. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari returned and came back, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said to him, offered him the mounts that he had, and it was just a test for Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one explanation, or it was a way of showing the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum his authority sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, so that he said as he said, because it's not his, what he has is not his, is belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the malullah, al-malu malullah. نبينا الآمر الناهي أمر يأمر نهى ينهى فلا أحد أبر. Here from البر. البر is a word that contains all the شريعة together. ليس البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين. As Allah subhanahu says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء وحين والصابرين في الضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. This long verse all describes and the people of بر and the birr itself, and it includes almost every type of good work, every type of ibadah. ولكن البر, birr is من آمن بالله, who believes in Allah. والملائكة, angels. والكتاب, the book. والنبيين, the prophets. وآت المال, and gives away money. على حبه, though he loves it. ذوي القربى relatives or kin his kin واليتامى the orphans والمساكين the miskins people in need والسائرين and beggars وفي الرقاب and free through freeing slaves وأقام الصلاة and establishes prayer وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة and pays charity والموفون بعهدهم and people who fulfill their promises والصابرين في البأساء and people who show forbearance in states of adversity وحين البأس والصابرين في البأساء وحين الصابرين في البأساء والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس instead of adversities and states of need وحين البأس and in jihad in the battle أولئك الذين صدقوا those are people of truthfulness هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم so he is the one الحبيب the beloved talking about love from the beginning of the poem he reveals here he is الحبيب he is the one to be loved from all human beings because his shafa'ah is hoped for every great calamity that would attack or invade humanity he is the beloved whose intercession is hoped for as arms against a host of relentless calamities هو الحبيب is جملة اسمية and has this effect of answering all the queries of people from the beginning of the poem about his love and who is the one he is in love with it is he صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم not only that هو الحبيب but also he is الحبيب whose intercession شفاعة is hoped for ترجى from رجى يرجو شفاعته This is about الشفاعة في فصل القضاء and about الشفاعة في دخول الجنة. So two kinds of شفاعة to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The great شفاعة in reckoning to take place. And then شفاعة in letting some people of his ummah enter الجنة without reckoning. Or letting later on some of his ummah get out of fire or not enter fire at all in the beginning of or get out of fire because of his shafa'ah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Hawl is serious calamity grave calamity Hawl plural ahwal halahu al-amru yahuluhu idha azum alayhi something halahu is frightens because it is so seriously great Muqtahami is when people iqtahama yaqtahimu is to rush in something so when people on the day of judgment rush it is like the day of judgment with its calamity the sun coming down people sinking in their sweat on the day of judgment people expecting they don't know what to expect later on then when the books are opened everyone is in trouble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described to us يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه people will run away from all relatives everyone is busy with his own salvation so such are the calamities in which to which people are brought after these lines he goes on describing in this section Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam more about his rank and this is very beautiful in this section here what is beautiful about this poem it handles the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a personal level rather than on a narrative in a narrative way we don't need, most people know the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in chronological order, from his birth to his death sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But Imam al-Busiri put it in the poem here in a lovely way that makes the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached to us. And he highlights more his fada'il, his khasa'is, his virtues, his characteristics, things were particular to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not given to other prophets or to other human beings or to his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as al-khasa'is are. He would highlight his mu'jizat, his miracle, also not in a narrative way, but rather in a way that makes it, that shows the miracle as a miracle, rather than just relating it as an event. So he describes his job sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Da'a ila Allah. In one line, he summed up his job as someone who commands good and forbids evil. Then, the following line, huwa al-habibu, he talked about his main role on the Day of Judgment, which relates to every one of us. Then he talks about his path, his way. Da'a ila Allah. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا. His job was to call for the sake of Allah, to call for Allah. دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. That is his job. And that is the job of his heirs, to call for Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. دَعَى يَدْعُو. دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. فَالْمُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِهِ, people who withhold to him, not only to his sunnah, but to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There are some people who talk about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they neglect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some people who talk about Ahlul Bayt, but they neglect the grandfather of Ahlul Bayt. So if you take the Wahhabis and the Shiites, for example, the Wahhabis, they talk about the sunnah, and they don't want to insert in the sunnah any bid'ah. But they forget about the person who established the sunnah himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they attach themselves to the sunnah, but not to the man who established the sunnah. And they sometimes make insults to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling that he is dead, there's no way he could cause you any benefit, he is in his grave, he can't hear you, he can't help you, things of that type. And they never highlight subjects such as loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I was once, last year in Hajj, I was in a car on the way back to Al-Haram from visiting a friend. And I was speaking with Abu Sa'id Quwaidir in the car. So the driver noticed that we're Sufis. So he said, are you Sufis? We said, yes. He said, what's wrong with Sufis? He said, يُبَالِغُونَ فِي مَحَبَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. They exaggerate in loving Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I said, what do you mean by exaggeration? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, narrated by Anas in Sahih al-Bukhari, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. None of you is a perfect believer or a believer till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dearer to him, more beloved to him than his father, his son, and all mankind. I said, your Friday speakers never highlight these hadiths to you. This is a subject that is almost a taboo in Arabia. In Arabia, talking about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, honoring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never speak about these subjects. These subjects are taboo. But they speak about bid'ah, inserting something in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they imagine it according to their own understanding or misunderstanding rather. So this is one issue. The other issue is the Shiites. Shia, for example, they talk about Al-Husayn, Imam Al-Husayn, and Ahlul Bayt, and loving Ahlul Bayt. But if you look at their ideology, Shiism is like an ideology for a group of people. So if you look at their ideology, it's built on glorifying Imam al-Husayn. They mention Imam al-Husayn, they glorify Imam al-Husayn and his offspring, picking them up from all Ahlul Bayt, rather than talking about al-Hasan and his offspring, for example, because al-Hasan handed over the Khilafah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So they in their writings, they discriminate against Imam al-Hasan. They say that Imam al-Hasan made a mistake because he handed over the Khilafah to Imam al-Husayn. So they highlight Imam al-Husayn more than highlighting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grandfather. They are attached to him, they talk about him, they talk about Ahlul Bayt more than Rasulullah himself, if you look at their literature. So this is wrong. We have to withhold to Rasulullah. This is why he says, فَالْمُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِهِ, not only by his sunnah. After he said, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ, I neglected the sunnah. No, it's not only about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's about him on a personal level. You have to withhold to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِحَبْلٍ غَيْرِي مُنْفَصِمِي. The people who withhold to him will be withholding to a rope that would never be cut off. In a way, in another way, Rasulullah will never let them down. People who stick to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never lose. People who love him will never fail. فَالْمُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِهِ مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِحَبْلٍ غَيْرِ مُنْفَصِمِ فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ وَلَمْ يُدَانُوهُ فِي عِلْمٍ وَلَا كَرَمٍ. As though someone would be asking, what about other prophets? Al-Imam al-Busiri is an excellent expert on life and the life and the history of other prophets, especially the prophet alayhi salam. We explained in the first lecture his excellency, his marvelous refutations of the dogmas of the Jewish people and the Christians in several poems, including in parts of Al-Hamziyya and several other poems. He devoted parts of his life and works to this what I may call multi-faith dialogue. This is a true multi-faith dialogue, not coming to accept Christianity and Judaism and stand on common ground with Jewish people, telling them that we're all children of Abraham, and you may proceed in your life as Christians and Jews, and we proceed as Muslims. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. No one interferes in each other's religion, as people put it. Sometimes to more than that. No, true dialogue is when the truth is our goal. And we work, in a wise way, through debates, through proving, through providing all types of proofs and elements to prove to non-Muslims that Islam is the true path. If they could prove the opposite, of course, they are welcome. There's no way. He says here, such a question that may arise in the minds of anyone, says, فَاقَ النَّبِي. He is beyond all other prophets. He outdid, فَاقَ بَزَّ يَبُزُّ, فَاقَ يَفُوقُ, outdid, to outdo. He outdid all prophets in his form and in his character. خَلْقَ and خُلُق. This is beautiful here. جِنَاس نَاقِيَس. They never came close to him in knowledge or generosity. Karam here may mean generosity, may mean nobility. Karam is used in Arabic to denote both meanings. Karam is generosity. Karam, Fulan Karim, magnanimous, or Fulan Karim is of high bread. كريم الأصل. وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم. All of them, they all sought from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something. That is to say, his message sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the original message. And they were actually, as Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, that Allah took a covenant, took the word of all prophets, that if they lived long enough till Rasulullah is sent, they would follow his message. They would follow him. And this is in the Quran al-Kareem. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. thy Lord took from the prophets, all the prophets, al-mithaq, the covenant. That لَإِنْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ, if a messenger comes to you, مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ, proving true what you have in your hands of the book, لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ, that you would believe, or confirming the message that you have, that you would believe in him and follow him. Do you give your word? They said, we give our word. So this is a covenant. So they were all nawab of him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were all working on his behalf, and he was the master. The metaphor put here is out of the virtues of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either in beauty or in character, they all got some type of either a handful from the ocean, handful of water from the ocean, غرفاً غرفة يغرف غرفاً. غرفة is to take with your hand, to take with your hand, food or water or غرفة. إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده, القرآن الكريم, in the story of جالوت, that he made it forbidden for his people, the people with him, to drink from the river, except إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده, except who takes with his palm some of the water of the river. So غرفاً, غرف يغرف, غرفاً مصدر من البحر, from the sea. أو رشفاً, رشف is to sip, رشف يرشف رشفاً. One sip is رشفة, رشفة. الديمة is plural form of ديمة. ديمة بالتاء المربوطة is a cloud that comes without any lightning or thunder, without thunder or lightning. سحاب بلا رعد وبلا برق, مطر بلا مطر بلا رعد وبلا برق. Rains, clouds that bring rains but not accompanied with thunder or lightning. Muzna is more, I believe, if I remember well, Muzna is a summery cloud, if I remember well. They all share the same basis like a cloud, but Arabic synonyms are different, and everyone has its own meaning. I think Muzna, if I remember well, is either a cloud that gives little rains or it comes in the summer. No, it's a white cloud. Al-Muzna, white cloud. Jama' Muzn. واقفون لديه عند حدهم من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم. Compared to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, all prophets stand behind at their limits. Before him, they stand at their limits. This is وقف يقف, they stand. They stand back. عند حدهم, at their limits, at their levels. من نقطة العلم, they compare to him, they're like a dot on a word, or a vowel, a short vowel on a word. But he compares here knowledge to all words, and their share of it is like a drop. And wisdom is like a huge body, and their share, the prophet's share of all prophets, their share of wisdom is like a short vowel. So the core of wisdom belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the corpus of knowledge belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They only got a dot or a short vowel, shakla, from shakala yashkulu. In saying shaklati al-hikami, there is also type of kinaya hidden here, which shakla is is one of the terms used for horses. And al-hikam, although it means wisdom here, but hakam is a piece of metal that withholds the rein to the mouth of the horse. To the mouth of the horse. شكلت الدابة إذا قيدتها بالشكال. When you say شكلت الدابة, you're tightening the horse or other mounts to a shikal, some type of rein. قال والحكم وحكمة اللجام تمنع الفرس من الجماح, is the metal piece that is put in the mouth of the horse to withhold the horse from running away. So this is tarshih here. It's in this kinaya he flies with the minds of the reader into another realm, because he's giving us the understanding that all the knowledge of all prophets is like a vowel over a word, or a dot over a word. Even they are all withheld. He said, وَوَاقِفُونَ لَدَيْهِ. So they stand back behind him, exactly like a horse is withheld. But the meaning is hidden behind these two words, شَكْلَ and الْحِكَمَ. الْحِكَمَ is different from حَكَمَ or from حَكَمَ. Referring to the metal piece put in the mouth of the horse. So giving the reason for that, he says here, فَهُوَ الَّذِي تَمَّ مَعْنَاهُ وَصُورَتُهُ, because he is the only one whose both aspects, the form and the meaning, have been made perfect. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, selected him as Habib, the one who created the human beings, who knows human beings, Bari Unasami. Mentioning Bari Unasami here is very significant, because the one who created the human beings, plural of Nasama, Nasam, is the one who selected him from all of them. And he's selected because he is the one whose both forms, the surah, the form, the image, and al-ma'na, the meaning here refers to the inward and the outward form, both, because he's both forms, the outward and the inward, have been made perfect. Referring to his beauty, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as he referred to, fi khalqin wa fi khuluqin. So ma'na and surah refers to khalq and khuluq. His ma'na is al-khuluq, and his surah is al-khalq. He's given, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all beauty. And Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of it. Imam Muslim narrates, "U'tiya Yusufu shatr al-husni wa u'titu al-husna kullah." Scholars, some commentators say, Yusufu, Joseph the Prophet, was given half of the beauty I was given. And he, wa u'titu al-husna kullah, I was given all of fairness. Then he says, "Munazzahun an sharikin fi mahasinihi, fajawharu al-husni fihi ghayru munqasim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." So we took 13 lines. You have some homework for next week, inshallah, to memorize 13 lines. And we will follow up, inshallah, on who memorized. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. we'll do, inshallah, we'll stop, inshallah, and we'll take tea and what we have here, inshallah, and I will listen to the people who memorize, inshallah. In the meantime, people who are in a hurry, they want to leave, inshallah, they may leave. We hope, inshallah, that we finish Al-Burda by Rabi', inshallah, the 12th, and then by Rabi' the 12th, inshallah, we start Al-Shama'il, hopefully, inshallah. I received several requests from people to do Al-Shama'il, inshallah. So if we finish Al-Burda, inshallah, we have Safar 4 weeks, and probably 2 weeks from Rabi', 6 weeks ahead of us. If we finish Al-Burda in 6 weeks, inshallah, we can start Al-Shama'il. رضى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. رضى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. رضى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة.